This morning's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, you say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, on this day we are so grateful for your love, your grace, the reminder at the table of what Jesus did for us as he gave his life so that we can be forgiven through faith in him. Thank you for again receiving that forgiveness through him this morning. We thank you for music and voices and this beautiful way to express our love and our worship to you. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for your children. Father, as we now await your message for all of us, will you bless us with your presence through your Spirit? In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. So did you know that you are a little power plant, that you've got the power? How many of you knew that you're a little power plant? Maybe somebody said that to you way back in the day, I don't know. But did you know that every time you take a step, you generate 6 to 8 watts of energy? But then, poof, it dissipates into the air. So if there's only a way, if there was only a way to capture it, right? And that's what an architectural firm in London is trying to do. They're looking at ways to capture that energy on a large scale and turn it into electricity. For example, 34,000 people walk or dash through Victoria Station in 1 hour, rushing toward their trains. So that's a lot of steps. And so they believe that if you can harness that energy, you can actually generate a very useful power source. And so what they're doing is they are working to develop vibration sensors, vibration harvesting sensors. And these sensors would be implanted in the structure of train stations and bridges, factories, any other buildings that are frequently rattled by commuters or machinery or vehicles. And the devices would capture the rumblings of all of this activity and turn them into electricity and then store it in a battery. So that's pretty cool, right? So think about it this way. There is power in small steps. Maybe your best efforts to practice your faith as a follower of Jesus Christ is just a few small steps. Maybe your best Christian efforts are nothing spectacular in themselves. But when they are combined with the actions of other believers, they have a powerful impact. In today's passage from Luke, the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." They come up to Jesus and say, "Give us more faith. Jesus, show us how to increase our faith." Why? Because they think that their faith is too small to make a difference. And so they say to Jesus, "We need more. Give us more. Give us bigger faith. Increase our faith." Have you ever done that, by the way? Have you ever said, God, please give me more faith? Jesus, please grow my faith, increase my faith, make it bigger. Jesus isn't buying into this, though, because he understands the significance of small steps. And so he says to them, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. He says, you don't need more faith, because if you've just a kernel of faith, you can say to a large tree, go jump in the lake, and it would actually do it. In other words, Jesus doesn't buy into their complaint that they need more faith in order to live a faithful life of discipleship. And he's definitely not selling the notion that he can just wave a wand and simply give them more faith, or the faith that they think they need. I don't know if you've ever seen a mustard seed. Probably not. I mean, it's hard to see. I have one right here. No, I don't. But if I had one, you wouldn't be able to see it. Because each one of them is about a 20th of an inch. I mean, that's very, very small. And so what Jesus seems to be doing here is to underscore the notion that faith doesn't have to be huge to have an impact. Your faith doesn't have to make the news to make a difference. And so what we need to do, and what the church needs to do, is to seed size our faith. We don't have to supersize our faith. We need to seed size it. Because there's power in seed size faith. There's power in small steps of faith. So let me try and apply this today to our lives. Because today is what's called World Communion Sunday. And it's a reminder that we're not alone as Christians. You know, so often we're so isolated, right? This little group here, we think this is the church. But we are not alone as Christians. Remember, even Lone Ranger, that someone called Tonto, right? He was not alone either, even though his name was Lone Ranger. So we're not alone as Christians. We are part of God's body. We're part of a family of faith here in Douglaston, yes, but as God's body, we're also part of God's people all across the world. There are millions and millions and millions of fellow Christ followers around the world. And so how can our small steps of faith make a difference in the world? One way is to focus on peace and reconciliation. To remember the peacemaking mission of the church. Now listen, we, you know, live in a world that is being bloodied by violence every day. We live in a country that is solidly divided in terms of our political views. We live in a time of mass shootings in schools and public places. We live in an era of intolerance and hate and aggression and war and persecution. And it's easy for us to be overwhelmed by the challenge of working for peace and reconciliation. We don't know how to respond to all the hostilities that's going on in our world and in our country and in our community. In a way, you know, we just want to run for cover and remove ourselves from reality. But we know that such a response is ultimately unfaithful. Why? Because peacemaking is huge for Jesus. He said God blesses those people who make peace. They will be called his children. In other words, when you work for peace, when you strive for peace, you will be blessed. You will be called God's child. Paul says in his second letter to the Corinthians, God has done it all. He sent Christ to make peace between himself and us, And he has given us the work of making peace between himself and others. God has reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. And so how can you take some small steps of faith, and be a peacemaker in a world filled with upheaval? Well, you can start by working for peace in your own family. You can work for peace in this community. You can pick up some habits of reconciliation. Remember the metaphor here. 34,000 people walking through Victoria Station are generating energy without giving it much thought. Just in the normal exercise of their daily life, these people collectively can produce a significant amount of usable energy. There's power in small steps. And this is also a picture of the church. We are the body of Christ. We number in the millions worldwide, and we ought to be making a difference in simply the way we walk in our daily lives as followers of Jesus. If we can simply practice the faith we profess, we will end up changing the world. The apostles were just a few, and they turned the world upside down. So we don't need a super-sized faith. We simply need a seed-sized faith. So let's get a little more practical. What small steps can you take to be a peacemaker? To pick up some habits of reconciliation? What about conversation? We're all capable of a conversation, aren't we? It doesn't need a super-sized faith. All it takes is a seed-sized faith effort. Because you see, reconciliation begins when we're willing to look for reasonable solutions to problems. And the best way to do that is through conversation, the process of dialogue and conversation. Why is it that politicians don't want to talk to one another anymore? I mean, what is that all about? Did you know that Abraham Lincoln took the bold step of including political rivals in his cabinet? You can't solve anything or bring healing in any way if you refuse to be in conversation with your opponents. The healing of divisions begins when we enter into conversation with our enemies and look for solutions to problems through dialogue. And you can do this. You can have an honest and peaceful conversation with someone and achieve reconciliation. You can make another small step toward peace and reconciliation when you show empathy for others. When you work to understand their feelings, their situation, their motives. You see, powerful things can happen when a faithful person is willing to take another person's pain seriously. What people want is someone to acknowledge their suffering. It's not complicated, and yet it's difficult to attend to another person, to give them your full attention. But if you do, it is a wonderful gift to them. I'm sure you've seen the truth of this in your own life. When you've received the gift of a friend's undivided attention. In a world so full of conflict, empathetic conversation might not appear to be a powerful weapon, but it's still the best tool for settling disputes and overcoming divisions and reestablishing relationships. So we're talking about the work of doing reconciliation. the work of reconciliation, being a peacemaker, small steps of practicing your faith. For instance, I mean, you can sit down with an immigrant and hear his or her story of life in the United States. You can have coffee with a difficult colleague and listen to what she says about the struggles at home. What about asking a neighbor who has a different political view or belongs to a different political party and ask to hear his perspective on a particularly divisive issue and just listen? Or invite an estranged family member to dinner and pay attention to what has been causing her pain. Reach out to someone in our church who is very different from yourself and let them know you'd really like to get to know them better. Develop habits of reconciliation through conversation and empathy. What you do will not transform the world overnight, but it may transform your world and that of your neighbor. You see, for most of us, our best efforts are just a few small steps. They're nothing spectacular in themselves. But when they are combined with the efforts of other faithful people, they can have a powerful impact. Enormous power is generated by tiny acts of faith and obedience. And in time, this energy will change your family and your world for the better. And you know what? It's kind of expected of us as God's children. In Luke 17, in the second part of today's passage that Vic read, Jesus tells a story. And he says, suppose one of you has a servant who comes in from plowing the field or tending the sheep. Would you take his coat, set the table, and say, sit down and eat? Wouldn't you be more likely to say, prepare dinner and change your clothes and wait table for me until I finish my coffee and then go to the kitchen and have your supper? Does the servant get special thanks for doing what's expected of him? It's the same with you. When you've done everything expected of you, be matter of fact and say the work is done. What we were told to do, we did. Jesus says the same is true for us. Listen, we like to receive recognition for what we're doing. We like to be patted on the back and to be told how awesome what we do is. And of course, it's always good to give thanks to someone for what they are doing. And we appreciate what we do for each other here at CCD, and we should express that appreciation. We're thankful for the ministries and for people's service and involvement. But in the end, the work we do, whether it's collecting items for needy migrants, or school supplies for children, or distributing food in the parking lot, or taking the youth on an outing, or giving someone who's elderly a ride to church, or whatever else we're doing as a church family, we're doing what we're expected to do as children of God. And the work we do is probably not going to make the lead story on CNN or Fox News. It might not earn a specific praise from Jesus or guarantee us a special place in heaven. We do it because we know it's expected of us as servants of Jesus Christ. We do it because we are thankful for the faith and forgiveness we have been blessed with. And when we've done what Christ has required of us, our response should be, Lord, we are really unworthy servants. We've only done the work we should do. So As we think about the world at large today, do not forget that you are a little power plant. And you have this power of God's Holy Spirit in your life. And you're part of the larger body of millions of Christ followers. And the work you do in the name of Christ may not seem significant to you, but these small steps of faith you take will have a lasting effect in the kingdom of heaven. And it'll have a lasting effect on your family and your world. Because there's power in small steps of faith. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for faith that is a gift from you. So often we feel we need more faith to accomplish something, but thank you for reminding us today that even small steps are powerful. Every small step will have a lasting effect in your kingdom. Help us to remember that we're not by ourselves. We're not just this little group of Christians here this morning. But we're part of the larger body. And if we all take just a few small steps, the world will be changed. Help us to start at home and here at CCD. And may our efforts, God, in response to what is expected of us as your children, may our efforts be blessed. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.